Let's go to Iraq and catch up with that Sunni militant group known as ISIS. They haven't made headlines in a few days, but that doesn't mean they're not busy. The militants took control of several towns in Iraq's northwest, along with an oil field. They're also fighting for control of Iraq's largest dam. Meanwhile, thousands of civilians have fled their homes in fear. Iraqi and Kurdish authorities say they're planning a counteroffensive to push ISIS back, but they're not the only ones wanting the reverse to reverse the militants' advance. Our friend reporter Jane Aroff in Baghdad gave me the latest.
It's a really interesting dynamic because everyone wants to get rid of ISIS, but it's very, very difficult. There is an interesting cast of characters. The Iranians now have the same goal as the Americans do. They are both, oddly, providing military security assistance. And on the Iraqi side, it's an army that has collapsed when the Islamic State rolled into the West and the North. But we're also talking, importantly, it has caused a huge humanitarian crisis with people from a small religious minority taking to the mountains barefoot with no food and no water.
And what about the Air Force? Because Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki has now called the Iraqi Air Force in the north in this battle between ISIS and the Kurds.
He certainly has, but we have to remember it's a tiny Air Force. They have a few Cessnas that have been modified to be able to fire missiles from them, U.S. Hellfire missiles. And they have some helicopters, fewer than they had before this fight started, because the Islamic State has managed to down and destroy several of them.
So Cessnas with Hellfire missiles, hard to say what that's actually going to do to ISIS. But, you know, in terms of the Kurds, their Peshmerga forces have been said to be the only ones who will stand up to ISIS. Now the Iraqi Air Force is getting involved. How have the Peshmerga been fighting off ISIS?
Well, that's a really interesting one, too, because up until now, all of that huge swath of territory in between the Islamic State and the Kurdish-controlled region has essentially been the Peshmerga, Kurdish forces, facing off against Islamic State fighters. The Kurds have so far not conducted any offensive operations. They have gone in and taken control of the oil capital of Kirkuk and several other oil fields, they say, to safeguard them. But when it comes to actively fighting, they're basically have been, up until yesterday, just trying to hold the line. Yesterday, that kind of changed because the Islamic State surged forward. The Peshmerga started fighting them and then withdrew pretty quickly in what they call a strategic retreat.
I'm really intrigued by the Kurdish Peshmerga, as you say, melting away. I mean, they are feared in Iraq. Why do you think they've been holding back from engaging ISIS?
Well, one of the things is that they seem to have made a calculation that this is what they have to do to keep the territory they have and to keep the Islamic State at bay. They don't have the forces, they say, without U.S. help particularly, to do offensive operations, as is the Iraqi military. The problem, Marco, is that no one really on the U.S. side is willing to put American military might, even in the sense of airstrikes or an enhanced intelligence, while there essentially isn't a government. We're in between prime ministers. There's a deadline of Friday, a constitutional deadline for a new one to be chosen, but it's not clear even that's going to happen. So without a counterpart, it becomes very tricky.
So you talk about this humanitarian crisis. Who is most affected?
The Yazidis are one of the oldest and most interesting and most mysterious of Iraq's many religious minorities. They believe themselves to be, go back to the first man originally, and they essentially revere specific angels. One of them is the Archangel Michael, which has led to a mistaken belief that they actually worship the devil. So because of that mistaken belief, they've been persecuted for centuries.
And what about life in Baghdad, where you are, Jane? Is it as tense there with expectation of an ISIS occupation as it was a few weeks ago?
No, it definitely isn't. It's just the end of the holiday that marks the end of Ramadan. So for the last few days, you haven't really been able to drive around the streets in the evening because it's full of wedding parties and full of people going out for dinner. You know, Iraqis have a very, very high tolerance for both risk and the threat that something catastrophic might actually happen. So it takes a lot to change the dynamic here.
Journalist Jane Aroff, always good to speak with you. Thank you.
Great to speak with you. Thank you, Marco.